there's some tremendous truths in 1 Samuel that can help us. Of course, there is, I know, throughout the whole Bible, but what we're dealing with is 1 Samuel. There's some tremendous truths there, I believe, that can help us as Christians, help us to see what God would have us to do. So that's what we're trying to do. If you remember, we had talked about Eli was a high priest. He had two sons that was very evil sons. And we discussed that, and we talked about the difference between him and Samuel. Here's a Samuel dedicated himself to the Lord, was being used of God. His Hannah, his mother, had dedicated him even before he was born. Said, I want him, but I want to give him to you. And to be used for the rest of his life. So we've seen the terrible condition that Israel was in, and it was in horrible condition. Idolatry was everywhere. They had a high priest that was not really doing his job as he ought to do it. He had two sons that was working within the ministry of the temple, and at the same time were sons of Belial. That's what the Bible says. They was worthless sons. So we want to just kind of go back over that just a little bit, and then we'll go on. But first of all, of course, these sons were, as I said, they were sons of Belial. They were sons of worthlessness. The Bible tells us in chapter 2, verse number 12, I believe it is. Now the sons of Eli were sons of Belial, and they knew not the Lord. They were ignorant of the Lord, and they knew him not, and yet at the same time, they were in the service of the Lord. Now, I don't think I have to say a whole lot about that. That certainly should never have been. These young men did not know the Lord, and yet they was being used here in the service of the Lord, and of course, Eli was to blame for that. It was his fault. It was on his shoulders. I think that we've got to be very careful. I believe you believe that. You don't want people serving in places of importance that do not know the Lord. You would not want them serving here in the church. You certainly wouldn't want them teaching. You wouldn't want them preaching. You wouldn't want them working in any of our classes and things if they did not know Christ. That's just a simple truth. But that was what was evident there. And then we find also in that they were greedy. In chapter 2, verse 13 and 14, we find that they were very, very greedy. They wanted more than what they was to give, and this was or should have been given. This was seen in the way they wanted the offerings, the meat offerings, and they wanted all that they wanted. So they were a greedy people. Not only that, they intimidated other folk. If you notice in verse 16 of chapter 2, now if any man said unto him, let them not fail to burn the fat presently, and then take as much as thy soul desireth, then he would answer him, nay, but thou shalt give it me now, and if not, I will take it by force. They were very intimidating. And here they was, the sons of the high priest, and they said, we'll do whatever we want to do. Notice also in verse 17, he says, wherefore the sin of the young men was very great before the Lord, for men abhorred the offering of the Lord. So here we find they were very, very poor examples and caused people to abhor the offerings of the Lord. When things are done like these men did them, you'll notice that it's going to cause other people to look down upon the work of God. And of course, then they were immoral. In verse 22, I'm sure we read that last week. Now Eli was very old and heard all that his sons did unto all Israel, and how they lay with the women that assembled at the door of the tabernacle of the congregation. They were immoral people. But look at verse number 24. Nay, my sons, for it is not good report that I hear. You made the Lord's people to transgress. Not only were they immoral, they caused immorality in the people of the Lord. He said he caused them to transgress because they was setting the example, and he caused them to transgress. So what I'm saying, I think all of you can understand and see the importance of God's people who are serving and working in the things of the Lord to keep things right, to be the right kind of people, to set the right kind of example. That is so, so important. Amen. We also find out, and that's where we really want to start today, we found out that Samuel here, this young man, at this time, not sure exactly how old he was when he received his divine call, but I think it's Josephus that I had read. You're probably familiar with Josephus as a historian. He wrote back in those days, and he was a historian, so it wasn't biblical. But he thinks Samuel, when God called Samuel, he thinks he was 12 years old. I don't know how old for sure, because the Bible does not say, but that's a good possibility that he may have been when he was called of the Lord. But we'll talk about his calling here in a few moments. But here was a young man who was consecrated to the Lord, and in fact, even more so than Eli, the high priest. He had more concentration for the Lord, more dedication to God than even the high priest had. If you'll notice in verse 22, as I read it again, he said Eli was very old and heard all that his sons did unto Israel. He heard it. He knew what was going on. This was not something that was hid from him that he did not know. He knew exactly what was going on, and so he was permissive. He allowed that to continue. In verse 23 it says, "And he said unto them, Why do you such things? For I hear of your evil dealings by all this people. Nay, my sons, for it is no good report that I hear. You make the Lord's people to transgress." Here, as far as I'm concerned, he gave them a very mild rebuke. I mean, sure, he spoke to them about it, but he did nothing about it whatsoever. He did not cause them to cease. And he spoke to them about it, but he did not take them out of the office that they were in. And that's exactly what should have been done. So we find here that Eli, the high priest, was not very spiritual himself. He was not handling things very, very spiritually. And then, of course, in verse number 27, it says, "And there came a man of God unto Eli, and said unto him, Thus saith the Lord, Did I plainly appear unto the house of thy father when thou were in Egypt in Pharaoh's house?" We find here that God sent Eli, a man of God. And Eli should have understood something. And that's the way God does. God sends messages to us. See, we want to today, when I say individuals, I don't know how you feel about it, but too many Christians today want to come into a church service and figure they can take out of that what they want and just pass the rest on over. But that's not the way God intended it. God intends it when he sends a message through God's man, he intends for all of us to listen very carefully and get that which God is speaking to our heart about. Now that's very important. But Eli, of course, did not do that. So God sent him specifically, a man of God, to stand before him and to say to him some things that were very, very serious. We've got to understand, in verse number 27, and then I'll read verse 28. "And did I choose him out of all the tribes of Israel to be my priest, to offer upon my altar, to burn incense, to wear an ephod before me? And did I give unto the house of thy father all the offerings made by fire of the children of Israel?" You know what God said to Eli, was saying to Eli? "Didn't I choose you out of all Israel to be the high priest?" What a privilege. "Didn't I choose you to place you there in that high position? And yet you're not taking it serious. You're not doing what you're supposed to do." Boy, that's serious business, you see. And in verse 29, he said, "Wherefore kick ye at my sacrifice and at mine offering, which I have commanded in my habitation, and honors thy sons above me, to make yourselves fat with the chiefest of all the offerings of Israel, my people." Do you notice what he said? He said, you honored your own children above honoring me? Well, that's serious business. Here he was, the high priest. He was in position. He had to do this. And yet he did not do it. He wouldn't even take care of his sons that was living in a terrible, terrible way. So the punishment that he gives him, I'm going to read verse 30. "Wherefore the Lord God of Israel saith, I said indeed that my house and thy house of thy father should walk before me forever. But now the Lord saith, Be it far from me, and them that honor me I will honor, and them that despise me shall be lightly esteemed. Behold, the day come that I will cut thine arm, an arm of thy father's house, and that there shall not be an old man in thy house. Thou shalt see an enemy in my habitation, and all the wealth which God shall give Israel, and there shall not be an old man in thy house forever." See, he's cutting off the lineage of Eli's lineage. And he said, there won't be any grow to be an old man. And And in verse 33, he says, "And the man of thine, whom I shall not cut off from mine altar, shall be to consume thine eyes and to grieve thy heart, and all the increase of thy house shall die in the flower of their age. And this shall be a sign unto thee that shall come upon thy two sons, on Hophni and Phinehas. In one day they shall die, both of them." Boy, what a pronouncement that this man of God brought to Eli. And he said, "Eli, they're not going to be old men in your household anymore. You're just going to be cut off. And not only that, you got two sons out there, and they're going to die the very same day. They're going to die. They're going to die in the flower of their life, in the youth of their life. They're going to die." What a pronouncement. And I think it's interesting, because, of course, God always has everything prepared. He never fails. And already he had waiting in the wings a young man whom he was preparing to take over for Samuel. And we'll probably talk about this later. There's nothing wrong with the young taking over from the old, but it should never be because the old has failed. Should never be because the old has turned away from God and has not done their job. You find the Elijahs and the Elishas. You find the Elishas taken over because it was time for the Elijahs to go home. You always find that. That's the way it's always been. Someday someone will take this spot. Someday somebody will take your spot. Yeah. But it should never be because we have failed to serve God. It should be because that's just the way it happens. You've heard your preacher talk about God kills his servants, but his work goes on. It's the way it's been for centuries. It's the way it's got to be. See, God takes his servants. He uses them for a certain time. Done with them. Takes them home. But someone else steps in the place. His work goes on. That's the way it's got to be. That's the way it's supposed to be. See, but here was a case where Eli was being replaced, even though he was old. I think he was 98 years old, Eli was. He was old, but he had failed Israel tremendously. And now God, because of that, was just going to cut off his whole house. Cut off his lineage. So there won't be any more. There won't be any more old men like you and your family. They're going to die, you see. So very, very serious. But at the same time, we see then God taking Samuel here. And again, I don't know how many years had passed. It may be that Josephus may be close on that. Maybe he's close to 12 years old when he's called. I don't know how many years had passed, because I don't believe the Bible tells us how many years had passed. But he's growing all the time. The Bible does tell us that Samuel grew, you know, and he grew in favor with God and with men. You see, and all this time went by, and he was growing. But this call of Samuel's was a turning point in his life. It was an absolute turning point. It was a time that he absolutely then knew what he was supposed to do, even though he had been dedicated to the Lord. And we'll look in a few minutes. Well, maybe I ought to show you now. Look down in verse number 7 of chapter 3. "Now Samuel did not yet know the Lord." I think it's interesting. See, at whatever age he was, he had not come truly to know the Lord. And he was heading that direction. God was getting prepared, but he did not at that time know the Lord. He was soon to meet him in a call that God was giving unto him. So the Bible tells us that he did not know the Lord. I might share with you, just because you'll see also that Hophni and Phinehas did not know. The Bible says they did not know the Lord, but there was much difference there. These were adults. These were men who had an opportunity to know the Lord. These were men who worked in the very sanctuary of God. It would be like somebody working here in the church and working in maybe as a Sunday school teacher or something like that. They had an opportunity to know the Lord. These young men had an opportunity to know the Lord, should have known the Lord. They was around those things all the time. Here was a situation with Samuel. The reason he did not know the Lord yet was simply because God in his timing had not brought him to himself yet, but was soon to do so. And so the Bible tells us that he did not know the Lord. But I think everybody, you know, you've heard probably the story of Samuel and the call of Samuel. Probably as a child you heard that. That's one of the favorite stories that we tell children, you know, talk to children and say, well, listen, you know, God will speak to you too. God will call you unto salvation, may call you for service, you see. But, you know, I think there's some instructive things here also for we adults. It isn't just for children. It's for we adults. Because, you know, God calls, and I want to give you 2 points about his calling here and how he called him. First of all, was he called him when he was young. Now, God did not call me when I was young. If he did, I didn't know it. But he called me, and when I got saved when I was 26 years of age, and I was called when I was 30 years of age. God called me when I was 30 years of age. So I was not called in the flower of my youth, in the young of my youth. But Samuel here was called as a very young man. Whatever his age was, he was called as a very, very young man. And I want us to remember, God can call young people. God can call them. And we can't ever forget that. Don't ever think that God sometimes does not lay his hand on a young person and say, I want to use you. May not understand all the calling entails. May not understand what they're going to do for sure and where they're going to go. But they understand and know that God has laid his hand on them to be used of him. So let us never forget that. When you see young people surrendering to service for the Lord for the rest of their life, please don't mock. Please don't make fun. That's a serious, serious business. And God is still doing that. Now, he doesn't always call people at that age. He called me when I was 30. He called Tom Daffram. I think Tom was around probably 37 or somewhere in this when he was called. So, you know, that's not the important thing, but we want to remember young people can be called in an early age, and we should always remember something. It's up to us to get them prepared for that calling. Now, not that he will always call them specifically out for a specific purpose. He always calls us to service, but maybe he doesn't want him to be a preacher, missionary's wife, or whatever it may be. But have them prepared. Have them ready. And I believe that's what the training is all about. We get them trained and get them ready so that God can reach down and say, I want you. And so when these young people are called, just remember, that's a blessing. And God is still certainly doing that. Not only the second thing I wanted to show you was that the calling here that he received, and maybe it would be good if I would read a few verses in chapter 3. The child Samuel ministered unto the Lord before Eli, and the word of the Lord was precious in those days. There was no open vision. And it came to pass at the time when Eli was laid down in his place and his eyes began to wax dim, that he could not see. And ere the lamp of God went out in the temple of the Lord where the ark of God was, and the ere the lamp of God went out in the temple of the Lord where the ark of God was, and Samuel was laid down to sleep. And the Lord said to Samuel, and he called Samuel, and he answered, Here am I. And he ran unto Eli and said, Here am I, for thou callest me. And he said, I call not, lie down again. And he went and lay down. And the Lord called yet again Samuel. And Samuel rose and went to Eli and said, Here am I, for thou didst call me. And he answered, I call not, my son, lie down again. Now, what happens here is he actually calls Samuel 4 different times. The first 3 times, he simply says, Samuel. And Samuel thought, and we'll talk about it in a minute, Samuel thought it was Eli. And we'll discuss that in a minute. The 4th time is when he said, Samuel, Samuel. And it was God calling him. 4 different times there was a call here on Samuel's life. See, as that verse I read you earlier, he did not know the Lord. He did not know who he was. He did not know that he was calling him. He did not recognize his voice. So some things were going to happen. So what happened was, the second thing I wanted to show you was that he called him when it was nighttime, when things were dark. Again, let me just share with you something. Sometimes, it doesn't mean you have to be called of a night, but a lot of times in the nighttime is when God can get our undivided attention. Many times in my life, I've laid down to sleep, and somewhere in the middle of the night, God will wake me up and give me a sermon. many times. And I'll have to get up and write down a few things that he wants to talk to me about. I think the hustle and bustle of our everyday life sometimes hinders God's speaking to us. We're so busy. And so it's a nighttime when he called him. And he was willing to get up and to run to his place of service even though it was night. I believe that little fellow was tired. I believe he was tired. I believe he had put in a day's work. But yet at the very call, you notice that he got up and he went immediately, first of all, to Eli, because he thought it was Eli calling him. And there again, that's a very important thing. But let's talk about the darkness. Spiritual darkness was horrible in Israel. It had two pictures here. Samuel was called not only in the nighttime when God could get his attention, but he was called in a terrible spiritual condition of Israel. It was dark spiritually. And he needed a young man to grow up and to be a prophet of God. And again, I'm just simply saying to you, things are dark spiritually. Whether you understand it or not, they're terribly dark in America. And I believe God's in the process of calling young men to his ministry. I believe he's reaching down and putting his hand on young men so that he knows what the future is. He knows what's coming down the road. We're headed for trouble, folks. More trouble than we got right now. We're headed for trouble in America. And we need to realize that God is calling out men of God to stand in pulpits and go across this country and other lands and preach the word of God, because it's a dark time. So God called him during a time when the priesthood was corrupt, and also the crowd, the people were corrupt. They were just in a terrible, terrible condition, and yet God reached down and called him. Now, God, let me read that again, verse number 1, he says of chapter 3. And the child Samuel ministered unto the Lord before Eli, and the word of the Lord was precious in those days. There was no open vision. Again, when you see precious, you may think of, boy, God's word is precious. Well, it is precious, but what it means there is very rare. There was no open vision. What happens when a country or a people turn their back on God? God stops talking to them. And you've got to understand something. If people don't want the light of the Word of God, you can reject it. You can just put it away. And that's happened to a lot of degree here in America. There's a lot of folks turned their back on the Word of God. They don't want the Word of God. I don't know whether you understand this or not, folks, but I get around a little bit. I talk to preachers. There is churches all over this land that do not want the Word of God preached to them. And you may not understand that. I don't know whether you do or not, but they are there all over. They only want a certain part of the Word of God taught them. They don't want to hear the things about judgment coming, about godly living, and about holiness of life. They don't want to hear that. And so I'm saying to you, back in those days, they didn't want to hear it either. But God reached down and called a young man by the name of Samuel to be a prophet, to go out and to take his message to them. I might read you a verse of scripture out of the book of Amos, the 8th chapter of the book of Amos. Amos said this. He said, "Behold, the days come, saith the Lord God, that I will send a famine in the land. Not a famine of bread, nor a thirst for water, but of hearing the words of the Lord. And they shall wander from sea to sea, and from north even to the east, and they shall run to and fro to seek the word of the Lord, and shall not find it." God says there's a greater famine than the famine of bread and the famine of water. There's the famine of the word of God. And it's such a dangerous thing when the word of God is not preached, not taught, and not listened to, and not minded, not applied to our life. That's a dangerous, dangerous thing. And let me say to you, America, much of America is there today. There's a great famine of the Word of God, not always because preachers are not preaching it. Sometimes it's because preachers are not preaching it. But other times because they do not want to hear it. They put it aside. So anyway, we find here that he was called at a time here when Eli, the Bible tells us in chapter 2, that Eli was very, very old. And I think I told you earlier, I think he died at 98 years old. His eyes had become wax dim, as we read there in chapter 3. And the Bible says he could not see. There was more to that than just the fact he could not see. He could not see spiritually. You know, he was not a spiritual man. He was not seeing what was going on, not only with his physical eyes, but with his spiritual eyes. A man by the name of Henry said this: when old Eli was rejected, young Samuel was established. For God will never leave himself without a witness, nor his church without a guide. I thought that was a good statement, because that's true. You see, when Eli was going to be rejected as a leader, the high priest, but God had a man to come in. God had a man ready, and that was Samuel. Also, we find and we look at the calling of Samuel, and it's very, very interesting to see his calling, because let me say to you, the ingredients of a call, I believe, are basically the same that God calls. But the way God calls is not usually the same. God doesn't call one man like he calls another man. But the call is there. The man understands and knows that God had called, that God had called him. You remember when Moses went to the burning bush? Well, I want to tell you something. I didn't have any burning bush. I didn't go see no burning bush. You remember when Elisha, the mantle of Elijah was thrown on to Elisha? And that was his call. God didn't call me that way. Now, you can use stipulations and things about that. Could say, well, yeah, that could apply, but I didn't have any mantle literally thrown on me, but Elisha did. Amen? See, the call is different. You remember an angel of the Lord came and met with Gideon, called him to his work. If you remember, Paul saw a bright light on the road to Damascus. I didn't see any bright light. God didn't knock me down to the ground. I didn't see any bright light. You see, what I'm saying here, we find Samuel was just called by name in the middle of the night. Samuel? Samuel? What I'm saying is the ingredients of the call is there. But the way God deals with each and every person is different. Brother Tom, called of God, we've sat in my office many, many hours and talked about this and dealt with these things and talked to him about them. And I've done everything I could to make sure of his calling, make him sure of his calling, make sure that he was answering God's call, not man's. Because I want you to listen very carefully. Samuel at first thought it was man calling. If we don't be careful, we can answer a call because man calls. My preacher, Brother Evans, was very, very wise. I had two or three other people come to me before I was ever called to preach and say, yeah, you're going to be called to preach. It scared me to death, and one of the most foolish things they could have ever done. Because when a man gets called, he needs to know it's from God. My preacher was very wise, and when I went to him that day and we sat in his, well, actually a room that didn't have anything in it. He was remodeling it. We went in there and sat down on the floor. And he said, and I told him my concern. I told him I felt like God was calling me. And he said, well, I was wondering when that was going to happen. He said, I felt like it was, but I certainly wasn't going to say anything to you. He used wisdom. Because a man needs to know God called him. You hear me? See, that's why you want to be careful. I'm just saying this kindly. You can encourage young people, but don't ever walk up to them and say, yeah, you're going to be called to preach. Please don't do that. You let God deal with them. You let God move upon their hearts. Because you don't know. And you know what? This preacher deals with them every day. I don't either. I may have some indications, I may think, but you're not going to see me go to them and say, yeah, I know God's calling you. No way. No way. Let God do it. And you know why? Because then down the road, years on down the road, when things get tough, and they will, they can look back and say, I didn't answer the call of man. I answered the call of God. See, Samuel knew after Eli finally told him, said, "Now you go lay down. It's the Lord speaking to you." And you answer him. Say, "Here am I, Lord, thy servant. Speak, Lord, for thy servant heareth." And what I'm saying to you, and it's interesting, and I don't really know, have all the answers. I go through the Bible and I think about these things, but Samuel, when he answered that time, did not call him Lord. It's because of the verse we find down in verse 7, where he said he knew not the Lord yet. And so, truthfully, he could not say to him, "Lord, speak, Lord, thy servant heareth." But he left out the word Lord. And I'm just simply saying to you, there's a reason for it. But after his call, I'll guarantee you, he called him Lord. And again, I'm saying to you, when God speaks to our young people or to any person in this room about service, particular service in our church, let it be God speaking. See, Eli could have said, "Well, I won't tell you what it is, Samuel. It's God calling you. He's wanting you to be this. He's wanting you to be that." No, he said, "You just go lay down. Speak, Lord, thy servant heareth," when God calls you the next time. So again, it's very, very important that we remember that in our dealing with young people. Oh, encourage them. You'll see young men, and in this church, you'll see them, you'll look and you'll say, "You know, maybe God will call that individual." You may do that, but don't pressure them. Don't do that. Let God do the calling. He's able. Sometimes we just want to say that so that we'll be the one in the know. "See, I told that guy a long time ago he's going to be called to preach." Baloney. Baloney. And let me tell you something. These things happen all the time. I had a preacher tell Tom Daffram in this church. That's been two or three. No, this was right after he was saved. Not long after he was saved. Tell Tom Daffram. He said, "Yeah, you're going to be called to preach. Ain't no doubt about it." I went to that preacher and me and him had some words. "What are you doing? He's called to preach. God will take care of it." That's who takes care of those things. It's God. Amen? I don't want Tom Daffram going out of here thinking because some man told him he ought to preach. I want him going out here knowing the call of God is on his life. See, God has directed him. Jonathan Reiser never had me go to him and say, "Well, you're called to preach, Jonathan." No, let God take care of that. Paul Chapman has never went out of here hearing this preacher say to him, "You're called to preach, Paul." No, God took care of that. God will take care of those things, see. And we've got to understand that. So be very, very careful. Just be very, very careful. Because you don't need to be in the know. Because you and I don't know. If I could, I'll go on from there. It's time, Chloe. We'll pick it up next week. But anyway, I trust that these things are a help to you in calling of God and how Samuel dedicated himself to the Lord. And